While we are at the beach, we're actually, though, going to build a sandcastle, and that sandcastle is going to be our gifting powers for our power of attorney. Yes, I know that's a little bit corny, but it is after 5, so I think we might be able to get away with it. And it's better than my law partner, Steve Haley, a couple weeks ago was talking on his homestead paper. He was comparing homestead law to quantum physics. Well, lucky for you, quantum physics is not my thing, so we're just going to stick with sandcastles and go with it, all right? So we're going to do 3 things, just 3, and it's going to kind of mirror what Renee Loveless was talking about this morning. We are going to talk about designing our gifting power, building it, and then also remembering to watch out for some rogue waves or other things that might wipe us out. All right, so let's get started designing. Much like a lot of the discussion this morning about trusts, where do we start? Well, we know where we start, right? We start with our client. And for today, our client is actually going to be the principal, not the agent or some third party, but actually the principal. And so we have to talk to them, right? We have to listen very carefully. We have to ask probing questions. Because what we really want to know is what? What do they want their agent to do with this gifting power? Why does the agent even need the gifting power? Well, I don't know about you, but in my practice, I tend to find that I'm including gifting powers and powers of attorney generally for one or more of these 3 reasons. Something to do with taxes, something to do with Medicaid or needs-based benefit planning, and then something else, maybe just continuing a pattern of gifting. So when it comes to estate taxes, why would our principals want their agents to have the power to gift their property away? All right, well, we know generally that answer because if the principal dies and owns less, then there is less to tax. So pretty simple concept, right?